Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski. And the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is finally a final, and the results are good. A Brewers Game 1 victory over the New York Mets. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for staying up late with us, for sure. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Ads win tonight in overtime, by the way. Maybe we'll do a late-night call to Baby Taos to see what's going on. Jeff Orlowski, Tim Allen, 10-2 final. Brewers get it done tonight. Here we are, a late-night version of some Brewers conversation here in the Hyundai of West Dallas post-game studios. Hey, man, as we've said before, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Could be noon, could be midnight, could be 3 in the morning. Don't care.
Yeah, we're here for you no matter what.
Yeah, still going to talk some Brewers baseball. And a big win for the crew. It is a big win. Earlier today, had a conversation with Bill Michaels on his show about, you know, what would happen if the Brewers would choose now. The timing would be really bad. Now, losing 11 of 16 would go through that throughout the course of a season or something similar to that. So, and that's fine. Okay, it just happened to be relatively early here for the crew. However, if you choose to do that again, that would be the bad timing. That would be the part that would get you, because then you just lump it all together.
Yep.
And it just wouldn't have been good. This is a huge win, guys. Huge win for several reasons. You do have Chase Anderson that didn't eat up as many innings as you would like him to, but 4 2/3 of 5-hit, 2-run ball. We'll take that because the Brewers' offense allowed the wiggle room, and that's what we've been talking about for about a week now. Offense, get it together so you get some wiggle room for both your starters and your bullpen. And the bullpen did an outstanding job tonight as well.
Yeah, they sure did. Chase. They sure did. And like you said, Petrichka, man, 2 innings, 1-hit baseball. And definitely did his job, and he bought himself a ticket straight to the minors.
Yeah. When you're chewing up innings late in a blowout game, that typically in a Brewers uniform means you're headed somewhere. So that's probably going to happen tomorrow, I would think. Maybe a few roster moves tomorrow. We're still waiting on the official word. Have we gotten the official word on Gio Gonzalez yet? Because I don't think it's made like technically official.
Yeah, I don't think so. The last I checked, nothing was officially quote unquote announced. Yeah. So still waiting on that as well.
But how big a win was this? If you're up late, you watch the draft tonight. Packers apparently, according to a bunch of sources, did a fine job today. And if you're up late, maybe you went to the Billy Joel concert at Miller Park tonight. 2 hours and 42-minute rain delay, more proof. Any outdoor stadium that is even thought of, whoever it is, slap them and just say, pony up the extra $125 million or whatever it would be to put a retractable on it. I just don't understand with this kind of money going around baseball and all sports, really, why there isn't just a standard protocol that would just have a retractable roof on just about every stadium. I don't understand it. And this isn't new for me. You go back to some of the rain delays that we've sat through in years past. We'd talk about the same thing. It's the identical thing. Now, I don't blame the Mets for not getting this thing underway. Apparently, it was not raining for a good 45 minutes to an hour once they started the delay at 6:10 Central. Because, as we found out from the Cubs a year or two ago, that it is up to the home team to determine when or if to start the game. And so, that being said, it's Jacob DeGrom there. Why would they take a chance? So I completely get it. I don't like it, but I completely understand it, that you wouldn't want to start your ace, have him go a couple of innings, four, five, six outs, and then stop down for 2.5 hours, and he's lost for another 5 days, and that's all you get out of him.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense why they didn't start it. From the Mets standpoint, you know, definitely frustrating as a Brewers fan. You know, you're stuck waiting around. It's not raining. You're wondering what the hell is going on. Are we going through the same thing that we went through at Wrigley that one day with the sunshine rain out? But yeah, it definitely makes perfect sense if you're in the Mets position there.
Yeah, and that's your are you kidding me moment of the game, brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. 2 hour, 42-minute rain delay, which essentially turned an East Coast start time. You think you're getting a bonus a little bit early on the baseball schedule for the crew tonight. And no, it actually turned into a West Coast sort of start time. They got things underway at 8:52 Central.
Yeah, it was like they were waiting for the draft to end and all that. Didn't want to sit there and go head-to-head with the good old second and third round of the NFL draft. But, you know, it is what it is, and it happens. I'm definitely more in your camp with the put a retractable roof on it. I think that, you know, not only is it good for business if you're the baseball club, because you got guaranteed gate. It's the same thing, you know, that we've talked about for years here at Miller Park. You know, you can bring in the tours and all that kind of stuff from the people up north. They know they're going to see a game and all that. And I think it shows respect for your fans as well.
Yeah, and it really, with this kind of money that's thrown around professional sports, I mean, come on, guys. It just makes total sense. Let's go back over this one as the Brewers get the Game 1 victory and a much-needed win for the crew. In many, many different ways, as you go back to the 8:52 start time. First inning, neither team scores in this one. Yelich did draw a walk in that first and stole a base, first of two, by the way. And it stays scoreless through two innings, although the bases were loaded in the second inning with just one out for the Brewers. And here you're thinking, man, you got to score some runs without the aid of a home run ball, and they don't get it done. There was one out there. They struck out Chase Anderson and Lorenzo Cain to end that threat. And how about Lorenzo Cain? Man, if he isn't the front runner or a front runner for a gold glove this year, I don't know what it's going to take for him to ever get a gold glove to make plays like this, another home run robbing catch in the bottom of the second inning.
And a fly ball back into center field. Lorenzo Cain measuring it up. He goes! Oh, my goodness! What a catch! Oh, my! He just tops himself night after night as he robs Todd Frazier. Not today, once again.
Yeah, once again, Lorenzo Cain, big time right there. And you're thinking, you know, the catch is the catch, fine. But you're thinking you just had the bases loaded in the top half of that inning and with just one out and you can't break through. And then in the bottom half, if that thing goes over, now you're looking back up at the scoreboard like you've been through this little drought they've been in, and you're chasing runs again. And it was a huge, huge momentum-turning catch. There's your spark of the game with Current Electric as Lorenzo Cain brings one back in. And we go to the third, no score, and the crew puts up one of their better innings of the season. I really enjoyed this one. They put up a five spot. Base hit by Yelich, and then he steals second, his second stolen base of the game. And the first run was plated by Mike Moustakas.
Moustakas a drive to right field, and that's going to go to the wall. Yelich will come around to score. It'll be a long single from Moustakas as the Brewers take the lead here in inning number three.
If you discount the bases-loaded walk the other day that Ben Gamel had, and it was the final game of the Cardinals series on Wednesday, if you take that away, it was the first run the Brewers had scored, not by home run, in 64 innings.
That's
crazy. I mean, think about that. 64 innings. You can't score without the aid of a home run outside of that bases-loaded walk. That's crazy. That's a crazy, crazy streak that they were on. And what's weird about that is they don't hit any home runs in tonight's ball game, but yet put up 10 runs. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
So huge, huge for Mike Moustakas in getting the Brewers on the board right there. Good to see him back in the lineup. A few batters later, the bases were loaded after Travis Shaw drew a walk. And Eric Thames, swinging a hot bat, comes through again.
And a shot into right field, and that is down. Moustakas is in. Here comes Braun. Throw into second. And it's a two-run double for Eric Thames, and the Brewers lead 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0 right there. And they weren't done. Orlando Arcia adds to the hit parade and tacks on a couple of more.
And Arcia puts it in play. That's through. Pass Rosario. That'll score a couple. A two-run single for Orlando Arcia as he gets it done with a count 1-2.
5-0, the Brewers bat around in that third inning and feeling good right there as Chase Anderson gives up a run in the bottom half of the fourth inning. So it's 5-1 right there, and it's still a game. You still have to get to your bullpen, guys. And you all know that the bullpen here came in, you may or may not, but the numbers are what they are. 4.64 ERA for the bullpen coming in. And maybe you need a little bit more run output. Maybe I'm thinking, no, the Brewers bounce right back with another crooked number. A four spot in the fifth inning, base hit by Shaw. Thames draws a walk. Arcia intentionally walked. And Lorenzo Cain comes up with the bases loaded. And here's a guy that to this point is 0-14 on this road trip. I don't know if we've seen him scuffle like that before. All of last year, I know there was maybe a little bit of a funk that he went through, but you know, 0-14 on this road trip, 0-for the St. Louis Cardinals series. He really comes through today. This is a huge hit for Lorenzo Cain.
And Cain into right field. It is down the base hit. Shaw is in. Thames is in. Here comes Arcia. It is a bases clearing double.
Yeah, and that puts the score at 8-0 right there. And they weren't done in that inning. How about the final tally of that inning as Christian Yelich stepped to the plate?
Many runs without a home run, and here's another one. A single from Yelich that'll bring Kane around, and it's 9-1 Brewers.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing pitching to Yelich there with first base open, but okay, he'll take it. We'll take it into the bottom of the fifth. Mets get a run back in the bottom of that inning. They chase Chase Anderson, 4 2/3, a two-run ball on 5 hits as Matt Albers enters the game and gets the final out on 2 pitches. He stays right there into the sixth inning. He pitches scoreless. And the Brewers' Jacob Barnes pitches a scoreless seventh inning. And the Brewers add a run in the eighth inning. How about Mike Moustakas? Good to have him back in the lineup.
And there's one headed toward the gap into right center field. Cain rounding third. He's going to score easily. Moustakas into second. The 10th run of the night for the Brewers.
Yeah, that followed a Lorenzo Cain base hit, guys. So he was 2 for his last 2. He was a multi-hit game tonight, knocked in 3, scored a couple of runs, made the great catch, and the Brewers That was their final tally there. 10-2, the final. Jake Petrichka finishes up a couple of scoreless innings, and the Brewers get the win. 14-13 now here in the 2019 championship season. If you're up late with us, how big a win was this? I consider it a pretty damn big win. I do, and it's against DeGrom, and that's what made it a little bit bigger. Now, there were some factors here in the DeGrom start. He was coming off the injured list, and there were some issues going on with him, MRI, and that came back clear and clean, and he got back in there, and you could tell he was wild right from the start early on. If he'd have gotten through 4, 5, 6 innings and just by circumstance just kind of wiggled his way in and out of trouble, that would not have been good. That would have been maybe the worst thing that could have happened here. But you detected he was off a little bit early tonight, and the Brewers took advantage. They were pretty patient. It was a good game plan once they saw DeGrom was a little shaky. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's a big, big win. 799-1250 as the Brewers get the 10-2 win. 10 runs, 10 hits, and they don't hit a home run in this game. They lead the National League in home runs. They don't hit a home run yet put up 10 runs. That is huge.
That was huge. And like you mentioned with the patience, Brewers drew 6 walks tonight. It's nice to see, and I don't find it a coincidence at all. Eric Thames, you know, he's been very, very patient at the plate lately. And he gets one of those walks. He ends up 2 for 3 with a walk. A couple runs driven in that we heard on the highlights. But, you know, his average just continues to go up, and I think a lot of it has to do, you know, he's seeing the strike zone really well right now.
He's seeing the ball well.
Yeah, he's very patient at the plate, and it's just paying huge dividends for Thames and the Brewers.
Yeah, we'll take some of your calls, get your feedback here, and then that's another conversation we got to have, because with Zeus, he's 30.
Yeah, exactly, 130.
Yeah, is it time? Is it time once again to I know they've been sitting him a little more frequently here as of late, and I don't blame him with what not only with what he's doing, but with what Eric Thames is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to turn the car and give the keys to Eric Thames here on a pretty much regular basis? That means that Eric Thames would play against lefties. And that scares me a little bit. That does. But he seems to be seeing the ball a lot better. We'll take a break and get to you guys on hold. 799-1250 as the Brewers get a big win. Game 1 of a 3-game set in New York against the Mets. They wait out the 2-hour, 42-minute rain delay. And they get the victory. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here after a Brewers 10-2 win.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
10-2, the final. Brewers get the victory in Game 1 of this 3-game set. So now the road trip is, well, it's 1-3. You still have a chance to get away with a .500 road trip. But more importantly, the win comes when they really, really need it, and they got it. Wrench and go drive of the game in this one. Brewers were up, and you would think that it's sort of in hand, but you never know, man. You just these days the offense in baseball, you're never really, really safe. If it's mid game and it's a 3-4 run game, that's still a game, man. And that's what it was. It was 5-1 in the 5th inning, bases loaded for the struggling Lorenzo Cain.
And Cain into right field. It is down the base hit. Shaw is in. Thames is in. Here comes Arcia. It is a bases-clearing double for Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, that's more like Lorenzo.
Big, big-time hit for Lorenzo Cain, our wrench-and-go drive of the game in a Brewers 10-2 victory. 799-1250. How big a win was this? I think it's huge. I think it's a huge win. I do. I don't want to, you know, win the World Series tonight. But, man, it's a big win.
It is.
You feel so much better with just, You know, that's why that off day yesterday, I think that really helped.
Yeah, I agree. I think it, I'm with you. It is a huge win. Get, you know, shake off all the losses lately. You know, I know that, you know, we came on the air right around midnight, but it feels like, you know, only 11:30 at night because of the win. You know, imagine if they would have lost 10-2, it'd feel like it's about 3:30 in the morning right now.
Yes, yes, it would. And they still have some heavy lifting to do, but I still show a lot of patience with this offense. I just, the names and the talent up and down that lineup, I am not, it's going to take a lot more than this for me to question that offense. Let's 799-1250. Let's go to our buddy Vincent in Anaheim. Vincent, big win, huh, buddy?
Hell yeah, it was a big win, man. Anything to get off of a losing streak is a big win. You know, I don't care if you won barely by one run. I'm glad you dominated the game. I'm glad the pitchers didn't give up the lead. I would have kept Chase Anderson up in there maybe until the fifth inning, maybe. But, you know, it's Chase Anderson, so you don't want he just opened up the floodgates and the Mets come back. That would have been even worse.
No, but it's, I think the other thing to consider here, Vince, is that, you know, he's just getting re-stretched out again. And that pitch count was working up a little bit there. You would have loved to see him record that final out and get credited with the win.
Yeah, and then plus, you read my mind in the beginning of the show, man. I was looking at the box score. I was like, wait up, no home runs? No home runs at all? And that, to me, that's good baseball, man. You got to hit. You got to score runs where you can. I mean, I don't know if there's any. There was no bunts, you know, sacrifice bunts or anything out there. But that's kind of like a little bit of small ball. I mean, it's a double. And well, I'll take a double over a single all day. You know what I mean? But it's all good. And, you know, to me, it's a good win. Anybody else that says, oh, who cares? It's the Mets. This is the way I look at it. We got swept by the Cardinals. So, to me, I look at it this way. For every, you know, division game that we lose, we got to win two out-of-division games. You know, kind of make it up in my mind.
Yeah,
you
do. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of Brewers fans heading into this series. If you look at Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and then Matt's on Sunday, there's a lot of Brewer fans that thought they were going to get swept in this series.
Nah, man, you got to believe, man. You got to believe to achieve, just like Tupac said, man. That's what I was looking at. I was wondering to see what's going to happen. But to me, every day is a good day. Every day you got a chance to win if you go out there, no matter what. I understand, though, you got Noah Syndergaard coming up, and you got the other guy, Mets. But, hey, man, it's a Brew Crew, man. You just got to believe. And, hey, yep. Now they can play with the small ball, get those doubles, get those hits. Let's see if they get some home runs. And like I said, I don't care if you win big or you win small, as long as you get that W tomorrow. And then the Sunday, you got to win tomorrow or the next. I want them to win all of them. But at least get this series victory, man.
Agree. I totally agree. Vincent, hey, man, thanks for the call. Always nice to hear from
you. Y'all have a good morning.
Yeah, no doubt. 799-1250. So I'm talking to my father yesterday, off day. I figured I'd have a couple of beers with my folks and two things. Sometimes, and Pipe Bomb, you get this too. I know we all do, and we all get shop talk with regards to what we do for a living. Everyone just wants to, and sometimes you just want to get away from that, and I get that. And occasionally, I do too. But my dad started talking about the Brewers' bats. And he's giving me a hitting lesson. Yeah, it's like, why do they hold the bat so far up over their shoulder? They need to get the bats down. And it's like, yeah, Dad. Okay, are we done? And he's like, why are they all swinging for home runs? And, you know, you want to let them go and you have a conversation with it. So, luckily, and this is, you'll get a kick out of this, Pipe Bomb. So luckily, some acquaintances walked in. They were out in back of the little crappy little corner bar I hang out in. And my father gets distracted by a skunk being by the back door.
Okay.
And he goes, there's a skunk around here. And I'm like, no, Dad, that's not a skunk.
Not the animal. No, no.
And he goes, oh, yes, there is. And I go, Dad, there's not a skunk.
No, you can look outside for miles. You're not going to find any skunk near that back door, Mr. Allen.
No, and he's like, I know what a skunk smells. And I go, Dad, that's high-grade marijuana. That's what you're smelling, man. So luckily, I get the stay of execution talking baseball by, quote, the skunk.
Yeah, you got saved by the weed yet again, Timmy.
There you go. 799-1250, how big a win was this? I think it's big. And also, we'll get to the Jesus and Eric Thames conversation as well. Jim, you're next. I heard you talking Packers football on the draft show earlier. It fit in well because the Brewers were in a rain delay. You could focus on Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. You know, we picked up a tight end in the later rounds. Like I said earlier, I'm okay with that. So, you know, it's all good. But back to the Brewers. Yeah, this is a huge win. There's no question because we needed to get a win to, you know, get off our losing streak. And I'm just looking at the standings right now, and you know, Cubs lost, St. Louis lost. So you know, yeah, this is great. I think I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend and hoping we can, you know, put a couple. You know, we scored a lot of runs tonight, which is awesome. And I think that we can go ahead and hopefully win this series. No kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's big for this reason, the timing reason. that's the biggest thing for me, Jim, Jeff. That's because you couldn't afford now. Now later on this year, depending on, you know, what happens, how it shakes out. Okay, fine. Later on this year, you're probably going to lose four or five in a row. You couldn't start now losing another four or five in a row. That's the worst thing out of all. That's the worst thing that could have happened. Because we all know it's going to happen. But starting another losing streak now, for all intents and purposes, I know it would continue a losing streak. I get that. But to start over, say you lose the next six or seven, man, that would be awful. Awful, awful. Just because of the timing, you should bottom out at the 500 mark. A good team will bottom out early on at the 500 mark, and then hang out around, I don't know, four or five games over 500. Make your push, head to 10 games over. You start digging your way out of six games under 500, you're in trouble. It's crazy,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, you know, there's no question. I think we're on our way to a little streak here because what is it? We're playing Colorado next week.
Yeah, starting Monday.
Yeah, I'll be up there for a game on Tuesday night, so I think we'll take it to them, and it'll all be good.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Jim, enjoy your night after the Packers' day two of the draft and a Brewers 10-2 victory without the aid of a home run. Life is good here, and then you've got a little respite here tomorrow. Final day of the draft is tomorrow, Jeff. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it all wraps up tomorrow. That's rapid fire picks.
You have a respite. I was going to say for the Bucks game, which is now scheduled for noon on Sunday. So you do have simultaneous games going on Sunday, pending weather out in New York. So you're going to have to follow both.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have, you know, the two TV set up. I've got only one TV. The other half won't let me get a second TV to hook up in my living room. But somehow I struggle on, Timmy.
No, you don't have two TVs in the same room. I mean, you can bring one in for the day, but no, you shouldn't have two permanent TVs. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I want. I want to sit there and have, like, you know, side-by-side mounted wall TVs.
Come on.
What
are we getting to?
Why not? You know, you got two games going, or you got NASCAR and the Brewers, you got NASCAR and the Packers, something like that. You need two TVs now.
Oh, boy. There's picture-in-picture, though. You do have that, right?
Yeah, but then you only get half the screen. I don't want to... Yeah. Same thing.
Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by Baby Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Brewers, offense for this game, 10 hits, 10-run attack. They put up a 10 spot, draw 6 walks without the aid of a home run, those 10 runs scored, which is pivotal. Pitching-wise, Chase Anderson. Now, you talk about someone that's being hot and someone that's stabilizing things a little bit. Yeah, he's not chewing up the biggest amount of innings here. But this is his second start. Last start on Saturday goes 5 shutout innings. And think about that. 5 shutout innings. He follows that up 4 2/3 two-run ball. 9 2/3 of two-run ball since being inserted back into the starting rotation. He's going to stay right there.
Yeah.
No further notice.
Yeah, Chase has stepped up. He's got his big boy pants on. And, you know, he's got a lot to prove personally and to the organization. And, you know, it's good to see. You know, you root for guys like this. You know, everybody knows Chase is a nice dude. Very nice in the clubhouse to me, you know, to you, to everybody. He's a very easy guy to root for. And you see them go through these struggles and just get completely destroyed, both on Twitter and in the media and on the radio. You know, it's nice to see these guys have success.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, I agree with that. He is a good dude. And 9 2/3 two-run ball, there's something. When they get this GAO deal officially done, there's another guy probably fairly similar to a Chase Anderson in terms of talent level and what he can provide to you guys. Real quick before we get to the next call, Zeus or Thames? Who gets the lion's share of the playing time right now? A couple of hits for Thames, knocks in a couple of runs, seeing the ball. He's drawn a few walks. He's come up clutch. Homered the other day.
Yeah, he's got his average up to 277. You know, scored a couple runs today as well. So, you know, for me, it's easy, and I go with Thames.
I may surprise you with my answer to that. I may surprise you. 799-1250. Where are we going to go, Jeff?
Let's go to the north side and talk to Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Tim Allen?
What's up?
What a great game tonight. It was epic. Thank God for the Brewers to have a nice win tonight. Hey, I heard you guys talking the other day about, like, some rants on the, like, managers going off. Have you ever heard something called talking baseball?
What is it?
Talking baseball.
Yeah. It's
these managers that went off on reporters and stuff like that. There's an Earl Weaver one that is epic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, there's been some compilations put together. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I have. My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and he had this on a cassette tape. And I played it once, and I was laughing so hard. I was just wondering if there's any way that you could find any of this.
Okay, and, I'll tell you what. Chris, you like the Earl Weaver one?
Yeah, the Earl Weaver one was epic, but there was one from the Cubs.
Yes.
Yeah, Lee Elia.
Lee Elia yelling at the Cub fans, too.
Yeah,
hey.
where he's like, he was actually, like, come out to the game. Why don't you come out to the game? And it was just epic.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. No, we dedicate normally. I don't think we've done it in a couple of years, Jeff, but over the years, I think we've dedicated one show to a lot of those tirades and the old school tirades. He's referring to the show we did on Wednesday, and I appreciate you listening each and every day after the game, Chris. I do. And that's proof right there that he was tuned in on Wednesday. But we played the Hal McCray one. Do you remember that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Classic.
Ass questions.
Just classic. I love them, too. So we definitely got to bring that back one of these days.
Yeah, we will. We will. Maybe we'll give you a sneak peek at the Earl Weaver one. If I could have Sam dig that out, or you can grab that. Just make sure it's beeped.
Yeah, that's a quick way to lose my job. That's for damn sure.
Don't want to have that mistake. 10 runs, 10 hits, none of them home runs in the hit column as the Brewers get a 10-2 victory. Chase Anderson, 4 2/3. The bullpen outstanding tonight. Inning and a third for Matt Albers. Yes, I said it. Inning and a third scoreless for Matt Albers. An inning scoreless for Jacob Barnes. Now, that's two consecutive scoreless innings for Jacob Barnes. A little bit shaky the other day. There was some traffic on the base pass for Jacob Barnes, but got out of that. Now, the outing before that, that wasn't good. That was a five runner. Jake Petrichka, a couple of scoreless innings for the Brewers out of the bullpen. And they get the victory tonight, 10-2 final. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
All right, the Brewers get a much-needed victory. A couple of things we're having a conversation about. One would be, how big a victory do you think this is? I think it's huge because you can't afford to dig a little bit of a hole. And people say, well, you still were 500 coming into this game. I mean, you wouldn't be digging a hole, you know, too deep by losing this game. You know, you want to stop the bleeding, first of all.
Yeah.
But timing is huge in this. Don't lose four of the next five now. That was my intent, or my thought, coming in to this game. Don't lose four or five from this point forward. Wait a month. Okay, fine. You get on a little bit of a funk, and things don't bounce your way. Lose four or five in mid-May. But just, you can't do it now. This is sort of an every game kind of tipping point for the Crew. I really believe that. They're a much better team than their record indicates. They're certainly not playing up to their potential right now, and I think everybody would agree with that. I don't hear too many people saying they're just not a talented team, and you get what you get on the win-loss record.
Well, you can't say that. After the success from last season, most of the guys are back this year as well, with the exception of a few guys in the pen. But, you know, the talent is there. Everybody knows the talent is there. You look at the Brewers lineup, all you see is talent top to bottom. And, yes, some guys are scuffling. Some guys were scuffling in the starting rotation and in the bullpen as well. But, you know, I think last year kind of taught us to relax. The way the Brewers, you know, very rarely were ever out of a game. They kept coming back. They kept fighting back. They, you know, just scratch and claw and figure out ways to win. I think that's kind of helped a lot of us here now this season, you know, not be complacent, but relax a little bit more than we would have been if we did not have the success of last season.
Agreed. Agreed. Heiser Automotive, who got lit up with Heiser Automotive? How about Jacob DeGrom? This is sweet. This is nice.
Yeah, four innings pitched. He gave up five hits, five runs, all earned. He walked three. He did have seven Ks, but, you know, 89 pitches thrown, 55 for strikes. His ERA now, 4.85.
I think this may give the Brewers a little confidence heading into their next series with the New York Mets, which is at Miller Park in like a week and a half or so. That could come in handy as well. A little more confidence against a damn good pitcher. Well, I mean, let's face it.
I think it gives them more confidence heading into the rest of this weekend.
Oh,
you
for
know,
sure.
They're definitely going to walk with some swagger. You just beat Jacob DeGrom. He was the Cy Young Award winner last season.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to walk and shoulders back a little bit. You walk like you're 2-3 inches taller than you actually are, and good for them. And they deserve it, and they should celebrate this win and come back tomorrow and kick their ass again.
that is hopefully the plan here for the Brewers, a 6-10 start tomorrow, barring any rain out there again. I haven't even looked at the forecast. Doesn't really matter. I'll still be here. Zeus or Eric Thames at first base? Here's where I'm at. Both. No, I'm not kidding you.
That would be a crowded bag.
I think it's a straight-up platoon. Thames needs to play against the right-hander and Zeus only against lefties. So the lion's share of playing time is going to filter toward Eric Thames.
Okay.
But you have to give him a shot at this thing, and that's Zeus. You've got to get him every shot you can. He's out of options, so there's nothing they can do. They can't send him to AAA like they did Arcia last year, or Knievel for that matter, a different position. I get it. But I think it should be both. And you just got to ride this out. You're seeing Shaw come out of this thing, had a double in tonight's game, drew a walk. You can tell he's deeper in counts. He's coming out of it. Moustakas obviously appears to me to be one of the leaders on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to come on a little bit. It was nice to see him not get added to the 10-day injured list. So I do believe that it should be both of these guys at first base. The Grandal thing, you know, let me tell you this. If Grandal ends up playing 30 to 50 games at first base, something bad went wrong with Zeus and or Thames.
Yeah, both, because you know, that just means that both of them are just awful or very injured.
Or it could be an injury, too. Yeah, and we don't wish that on anybody. 799-1250 as the Brewers get the 10-2 victory. Game one of this three-game set in New York, a 2-hour and 42-minute rain delay. We appreciate you staying up a little bit. Anyone go to the Billy Joel concert that wants to give us a play-by-play? I love that tune he does. There's this song that he does. Oh, I can't think of the name. Oh, yeah, I can. It's Allentown. Yeah,
nice.
I love that Billy Joel song.
Yeah, I wonder why, Mr. Allen. I wonder why.
All right, what do you want to do here? Do you want to break or do you want to get to?
Well, let's squeeze in Matt from Brookfield first. Matt, you're on with Tim Allen.
What's up,
hey,
Matt?
What's up? I hit up that Admirals game. This is actually the first Brewer game I actually didn't see live either on TV or in person so far this year.
Okay, how was the Admiral game?
It was great. I admit I was kind of glancing at my phone going, what's going on? Because I had no idea there was a rain delay, and it's like 7:30, 7:45 our time, and then all of a sudden I got distracted by the game, you know, because it was a pretty solid game all around. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth going on. It was a pretty enjoyable Admirals game. I've been going to them since I was 3 years old.
Was there a fight that broke out late in that game?
Kind of more just occasional scrums in front of the nets, your typical hockey equivalent of your extracurriculars, so to speak. There wasn't a straight up fight for fighting doled out at any point.
Okay, but, so now there's a game five on what, Monday?
Monday, yeah, and that's where I have to pull my hair out and go, okay, what am I going to do here? Because I've been at each Brew home game so far, so it's just kind of like...
Yeah, that's, you know what, I was talking to Baby Taos earlier today. I did not realize, and I thought this had come up in minor league hockey when there's a best of five series, you give the better seed their choice in the home field, home ice, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, do you want the last three games at home, or do you want the first three games at home?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and
historically, they like to stagger them too. Historically, because I remember at least a number of years back, thought they were doing like for a best of seven, they were doing that 2-2-1-1-1 thing that I guess the NBA does too. I guess now,
right, right.
So, I mean, there's that going on. When they first implemented that, I would spend for years growing up following hockey. When I was a kid and going into adolescence, I actually played hockey. So I was so in tune with hockey growing up, and they did that with the AHL, and I was just totally weirded out by it. You said 2-3-2 in the best of seven.
Right.
Well, they do it to save money. You know, the AHL is not rolling in cash, and I know the Admirals draw well and all that kind of stuff, but – you know, they do it so these teams don't have to sit there and travel back and forth. And most of them are going by bus and all that. So it's you know, it takes a toll on the players and all that and the cash. So
I just wonder in the NBA or Major League Baseball. You know, I wonder in the best of seven series, guys, if there's something that they could tinker with in the NBA and Major League Baseball. I just wonder about that, whether, you know, maybe you put the onus on, hey, it's your choice. Pick your poison. How you want to work this? I don't know. It's just something to think about. I found that. Well, how did Baby Tosh do tonight?
Pretty solid. I saw him. I was sitting in 205. I was tempted to pester him. He's already booking it off to the next thing. So, you know, it's going to take him maybe a little bit to get over there. All fun aside, so I'm a little bit bigger of a guy myself. So,
okay, gotcha.
One thing I wanted to call about, I mean, you guys know how I feel at this point about those two big fish that are still out there.
Yep.
Again, for the draft picks, I was hearing from people they're only going to have to give up their third and fourth pick if they grab them both coming up for the draft. They already gave up. Their first pick is already gone via Grandal because he was given a qualifying offer. But the other thing I was thinking of, so seeing the Geo stuff, and at first I was really positive and towards thinking about that, but then I started thinking about, okay, who are they going to have to bump off the 40-man roster that might be at risk for the Rule 5 draft if they sign Geo? I mean, is that something you want to potentially risk in that case? And that's where I'm kind of hesitating with this Geo signing potentially, is do they feel comfortable moving someone else? And if they do, would it be someone maybe like Corey Spangenberg or someone else along those lines that's kind of a journeyman guy? Or what do you guys think?
I agree with you. It would be a guy just like that. It would be a Spangenberg type or a Saladino type, because they're not going to expose a guy like a Nottingham or some of these guys that have
Adrian Hauser. God forbid, there's no way on earth they're going to do anything with, say, Diplin or Dubois or any of those key guys that are at risk that are already on the 40-man that are potentially. I don't know if Dubois is even eligible for the Rule 5, because I know some teams, they'll put some guys on the 40-man just to have them ready to go in place they want to call them up, even if they aren't eligible for the Rule 5 that year. I know not many teams pull a lot, for obvious reasons. But that's something I was wondering about there.
Yeah, I don't think that plays too much into both these signings. And I just wonder, their best-case scenario, Matt and Jeff, as you guys know, their best-case scenario. Now, we did get good news on Jimmy Nelson today. He's going to start in AAA San Antonio on Sunday. But their best-case scenario is
good for them, too.
Yeah, their best case is just this, and that is – do well until that draft clears, and I think the money comes down for both Keuchel and Kimbrel, and I think that's when you'll see some movement there. Before.
Are you entirely sure that might entirely be the case? Because then once the draft pick compensation is gone, don't you think then the hesitation to sign him is less prevalent for more teams that would otherwise grab him that don't want to give up the draft pick?
You know, no, there's plenty more competition at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all right with
the price goes up.
Well, it may just because there's more suitors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think from the Brewers' perspective, maybe that's why they're waiting. The draft is so volatile.
About them and Kimbrel for like weeks now. And let's say they had signed them 2-3 weeks ago, people are saying back, you know, a couple weeks ago, well, they won't have until May. Well, it's almost May now. If you'd sign him then, well, there you go.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice looking at Kimbrel's numbers, I mean, his curveball last year was amongst his career best for his curve, and his velo on his fastball is up in his years with the Red Sox from even his Braves days. So, I mean, this is the thing. Like, a lot of people were talking about some of these guys, like, well, they're, you know, 30 or on the wrong side of 30 for the two of them. I mean, the analytics are pointing to them being on the upswing at least the past couple of years from even their younger, quote-unquote, prime years in their mid-20s for a pitcher. So So I just kind of, I'm just hoping they don't get burned and you'll have one of these cases where a free agent signing pans out for some of these other teams and the Brewers get left behind.
Yeah, and it could be Chicago. It could be St. Louis. Right in division, man, and that's going to sting. Hey, Matt, always a pleasure, man. I enjoy talking with you.
Hey, you guys all have a good one now.
You too.
Yeah. I mean, that could sting them. There we go. Yeah, I doubt he played this song.
Well, it's found on one of his greatest hits albums, so you never know. You know, this probably will shock you, Timmy, but I'm not a huge Billy Joel guy, so I don't know what's on his set list normally or not. But
799-1250 if you want to join us. Brewers get the victory tonight, 10-2. Also, Zeus or Thames at first base? I say both. Pipe Bomb says Thames. If you want to join the conversation, again, 799-1250. Bay Butte Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Look, we're facing Jacob deGrom, so I think, you know, that's why baseball surprises us all the time and never know what to expect. But we put together, you know, he was a little off with some of his command, it looked like, and put some good at-bats together on him, and we were patient on him. Got some big two-out hits, and that's what led to the big runs tonight.
Thames had some big at-bats for you again, and it looked like it was good to have Moose back because he's sort of
Moose was in the middle of it. I mean, I thought Eric's hit was, you know, when he jumped on the first pitch from with the bases loaded, that was definitely the big hit of the game. You know, that's the one that broke it open and gave us the nice cushion. So, our lefties did a really nice job against the ground tonight.
What about Orlando's too, like with the fouling hit on two strikes and to get Chase up there as well.
Yeah, no, the two walks from Orlando were big tonight. Obviously, the base hit up the middle with the infield drawn in, but you know, he did a nice job at the bottom of the lineup. Kind of sometimes your job is turning the lineup over and you know, drawing that walk gets Lokane up there and just turning that lineup over. Did a nice job.
Are you used to seeing those catches from Lorenzo Cain, and where does this one sort of
rank? Yeah, well, this is the best one this year for sure. But, you know, he's robbed three homers already now. So it's you know, you don't get used to, I mean, you don't want to ever get used to something like that because it's a lot of fun to watch. So you don't. But tonight's was really improbable. It was remarkably timed. It was timed yet not like slow down and time it. Like he just timed it so his leap was, you know, really, really above the wall. So just a special play. I thought the ball was gone at first and he was just, you know, playing with us, but then he's got the ball in his glove.
It was nice to see those add-on runs too with his double in the fifth.
Yeah, no, I mean, that, you know, that's the hit that made it comfortable, obviously. You know, he needed a hit too. He'd scuffle a little bit in St. Louis, so happy for him to get that hit, big hit, and he got another one later.
Chase gave you a sign
that was in love. I just thought he was done. You know, I thought it was time to go to somebody else. I mean, I thought that's, you know, it's, we had a 7-run lead, but there's two men on, and, you know, it was time. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter necessarily. Sometimes you got to take away the score and just say it's time for the next guy. And I thought it was the right spot.
Good to see Moustakas contribute after a bit of layoff.
Yeah, no, I think he showed no effects. I think that's the big thing. You know, wasn't necessarily thinking he'd come right back in and produce this much, but just having no effects, hitting a couple balls really hard, hit a bunch of foul balls really hard as well too. So. Nice to know that, you know, hopefully it's behind us.
With DeGrom, even though he struggled, is, it surprising, especially the way he pitched last year, just early on, to see him struggle with his command? A little out of character.
Yeah, no, it's certainly out of character, but it's, yeah, I mean, he's human. I mean, pitchers, so he's just not locked in, and I'm glad he got him. I'm glad we got him when he's not locked in.
Had the nearly 3-hour wait to play the game go, what did you guys do to occupy time?
Well, I mean, it's one of those nights where I think everybody, in the building was like, how are we going to possibly play this game? I guess it's a night where you give credit to the grounds crew and the weather people. They were right tonight. It got better as the night went on, and we got through the first couple innings where it was still raining a little bit, and then it was fine.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
Yeah, after a Brewers 10-2 victory tonight, you got to think about what's next and a little forward thinking with Forward Financial Partners here as you think about the first base position. And we talked about that a little while ago about Zeus and his struggles at a 130 batting average and still has yet to homer, which is a striking difference from where he was last year. And remember, I mean, his background of, being landlocked out of a position when he was in the Cleveland Indians organization, Stearns goes ahead and swoops him up, and then he just goes on a tear and is playing with confidence. I noticed with Jesus last year in the second half, during some of the struggles that he had, that it was way too emotional for me. And I don't know if you guys remember me talking about that late last year, that just relax, dude, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. And that's a tough thing to do, and I understand that. We all want to do well in whatever we do, but baseball is a weird thing that way. And I just noticed way too much animation out of him, if that makes sense. It's like, dude, you swung and missed. Big deal. I mean, there's going to be another 4 at-bats tomorrow, and then the 4 more the next day, and then the next day, and then there's another series. I know they want to do well. That concerns me a little bit.
Yeah.
That Jeff, maybe he's emotionally so down right now that it's going to be even tougher to pick himself back up.
Yeah, like he's in his head a lot too much instead of, having the quick memory and able to put bad at-bats and strikeouts and stuff behind him. You know, there's definitely something going on with Jesus. You hope that it's you kind of hope it's more mental than it is physical. He doesn't seem like he's hurt, but
no,
I'm sure, and he's had a lot of off days to rest whatever nagging injury he's had now. But if that is the case, but do you put any credence in the fact that it seems like he's standing a foot farther away from the plate?
I'm hearing a lot about that, and I don't know if that's just they do miss things. I will say that. In Major League Baseball, it's not like they're gods that can't make mistakes. And it's not like they can't be wrong once in a while. And it's not like fans can't be right once in a while, because fans are right a lot of the times. They are. You guys are. We are as analysts. We're right a lot. And it doesn't mean that they're any less of a baseball acumen in the organization. But I've heard that a lot, that it just appears that he's backing off the plate and susceptible to the low outside breaking stuff. I doubt it. I'll just say that, because it would be something that Andy Haynes and Craig Counsell would pick up on, or maybe even his teammates would. Maybe there's a runner at second base that notices, Zeus, you a little bit off the plate, man? You in your spot? I doubt it's off the plate. So I think it's more mental than anything. He's proven he can do it. He's an all-star. A guy hit 35 home runs last year, knocked in 108 runs. 35-108, guys.
Yeah, it's huge.
You have to still play him. You do. For now, you do.
And I'll just leave it at that. We'll take a break if you want to join the conversation. Just a couple of minutes left here as the Brewers get a 10-2 victory. Game one of a three-game set. A huge win for the crew. We'll be back on The Fan. Had a lot going on tonight. I know you did. And really, in a way, the 2-hour and 42-minute rain delay for the Brewers and Mets was, number one, well worth the wait because they win 10-2. But number two, it gave you a few hours to, like Matt had said, they called in from Brookfield and go to the Admirals game. He didn't miss much of the Brewer game.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You get a
check
lot
out
done.
The draft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a big night for TV, you know, Admirals. You know, the draft, it was a lot going on Friday night. Maybe you went out after work and had a few beverages and all that, and we're still able to relax on your couch and watch some late night baseball.
Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I still, despite the pitch count, I would have let Chase Anderson go just one more batter. I wanted him to get the win, or at least be eligible for the win at that point, getting through five. I know the pitch count was up there. They're still stretching him out, but that goes a long way. It does. And I know these players want the wins. They can all say, well, as long as the team wins, we're fine. Uh-uh. Wins, regardless of what you think of wins and losses with a pitcher, wins and losses equates to money.
Yep, sure does.
I know Chase is on a deal right now, and he got paid handsomely, and he told us in spring training he needs to pitch a little bit better. He's got to pay for another kid, so he just had a second kid. But that's the correction I would have made, brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. All right, Sam Schmitz, nice job behind the glass over there for Polish Pipe Mom. My name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the night. Tomorrow, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show gets underway at 5. There's a 6:10 slated start time. I don't know about the weather, but that's what time we're scheduled to start. And after the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll meet you right here for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios. Huge win for the Brewers. Be even bigger tomorrow. Tomorrow's victory will make this one even bigger. How's
yeah.
that sound?
Yeah, Syndergaard, you know, going up against Brandon Woodruff. So it should be a good matchup, and I can't wait, man. I'm kind of thankful that it's a short turnaround, and in just a few hours we'll be watching baseball yet again.
Woody do for a nice start. So hopefully you can take him deep into the game, get him in Josh Hader territory. So let's talk some Brewers baseball tomorrow night after the game. And remember, as always, guys, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.